Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. Have a postcard here today from our faithful listener and good friend, Doug Binkley. Doug is not only an Everyday Truth family member, but he's also an Israel trip alumnus. So Doug, thanks for the reminder of your listenership and for this postcard of some Amish friends in Ohio. Appreciate your faithfulness to the podcast. We're in Romans chapter 13 today, and I love the Apostle Paul for so many reasons, but I just love how he has a passion for the gospel, and not just the gospel to save us in the sense of justification, saved from the penalty of sin, but that the gospel would be the living principle of our life, that we would know the power of God, that we would live in victory, that our lives would make a difference. And I really love the extended metaphor that he uses in today's episode about wake up. Wake up. Don't be a sleepwalker. We've got too many sleepwalkers in Christianity that are just kind of bumping around in the night and not making any real substantive directional difference. The Apostle Paul challenges us, and this is a challenge. So would you look at Romans chapter 13, and let's finish the chapter today, Lord willing, beginning at verse number 11. Watch what he says. And that knowing the time, so Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time. I mean, it is the right time. It is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So what in essence is the Apostle Paul driving at in verse number 11? Well, he's driving at the urgency that each one of us has to serve God in the limited time that we have. So he said, number one, know the time. Knowing the time. Know that time is short. Know that this life is fleeting. The apostle, not apostle, but pastor James said something very similar in James chapter 4 when he talked about life is but a vapor. And we're here for a little time. Then we pass away. So for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And I think the Apostle Paul picks up on that here, knowing the time. Even Moses in Psalm 90 was like, hey, we live our lives as a tale that is told. We have this 70, and sometimes we have good health and we live another 10 years, but I mean, it's all relatively short. It's here and it's gone. What are we doing? So Paul said, and that knowing the time, that now it's high time. So when's the best time to get serious for God? Now. When's the best time to just make that decision that you've been putting off? Now. The last thing you want to do is put it off again. To that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Wake up. Quit living in a spiritual stupor. Quit living in a state of spiritual unawareness, in blissful ignorance. That's what sleep is. We all love to sleep. I love to sleep. And when you sleep, man, the world goes away. When you sleep, it's like just, you might as well just be 1,000 miles away from every problem. But it's only people that are awake that make the difference. So when it comes to our spiritual lives, you know, wake up. Don't live in a state of spiritual somnambulance when you're just walking around like a sleepwalker. That knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now, here's the incentive, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Wait a minute. You say, Pastor, I thought that salvation happens when we believe. It does and it doesn't. We've talked about this over and over again. There is part of salvation that takes place the moment you trust Christ as Savior. You're justified. But that process of sanctification begins at the moment you trust Christ as Savior. So now there's a process whereby you are being saved. But ultimate salvation, culmination of salvation, is when we stand before Jesus and we're made like Him and we see Him as He is. So in that sense, the culmination of our salvation is nearer than when we believed. In other words, the finished product. I'm not a finished product yet. Now, this old life, I still live in this sin-cursed world. I still carry around this sinful flesh. And while I'm trending upward, I'm not where I need to be. But my salvation, the culmination, the finished product is closer today than it was when I first believed. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. The judgment seat of Christ is looming. There's coming a day very shortly that we will stand before Him. And what are we doing in a sense of urgency in that wisp of time that remains? So it's a call to urgency based upon the brevity of life. Look at verse number 12. The night is far spent. I mean, again, we're speaking about the urgency and brevity of time. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. I mean, it's almost dawn. It's almost the time when the day star, Jesus Christ, shall appear, and that eternal day will have dawned, and forever and forever and forever will escape the blackness and the night of this sin-cursed world and condition. Okay, but we're not there yet. So in these waning hours before the day dawns, we need to be about the Father's business. The Bible says, verse number 12, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Yeah, the day's dawning. Don't live like we're in the darkness. That's the way the unsaved world lives. You know, don't live with your night clothes on. You know, get dressed for the day. Get dressed for who you are. We are children not of darkness. What's the extended metaphor? We are children of light. So act like children of light. Put on the armor of light. There's a lot of metaphors going on here, but I'm thinking about Ephesians chapter 6, and you probably are too, where it talks about the armor of the believer and that shield of faith, right? Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, all of it. Right? And the point is that we can be and have the equipment to live in victory even in this sin-cursed world. Why? Because of what we have in Christ. So what is the armor of life? What is that faith and that salvation and that peace and those things that are typified by the armor in Ephesians chapter 6? They all relate to our relationship with and the sufficiency of Jesus in our lives. So to put on the armor of God really is to practice the presence of Christ in our life. Christ is our salvation. He dwells in us by His Spirit. He is the one that we emulate. He provided the perfect example. He is the one that empowers us. No, it's all about Jesus. Christian victory is all about accessing the very resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's why Paul can say in verse number 12, put on the armor of light. But then down in verse number 14, he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same thing. So to equip myself with the armor of God is to put on Jesus. To say today, Jesus, live through me today. Live the life that you would live in my body. By your Spirit, empower me today. Help me to love the people you would love and love through me and live your life through me. Help me to say no as you said no. Help me to say yes as you said yes. Help me to prioritize as you prioritize. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't live like this sin-blackened, sin-darkened world. Live as children of light. light so often in the Bible is a reference to righteousness. We see the book of 1 John, walk in love, walk in light. Walk in love, walk in holiness. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, the Bible says. In him was life, Jesus, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. So Jesus is the light. Come unto the light, the Bible teaches. Ye are the light of the world, Jesus said, as we reflect the light, Jesus Christ. So, wow, all of this comes together, doesn't it, in this one metaphor that the Apostle Paul is using about darkness and light. Look at verse number 13. Let us walk honestly. So here are some practical ways by which to live as children of light. So rather than this just be some mysterious metaphor, okay, well, we're just going to walk in the light. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to walk in the light? Well, it means walk honestly. Walk honestly as in the day. You know, tell the truth. Be fair in your dealings with other people. Walk according to a clean conscience. Do what's right by others. Love God and love people. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Isn't it interesting that when people want to be dishonest, they always do that in the dark? They always do that hiding. They're always trying slurking. Lurking and slinking. So I just came up with a new word, slurking in the corners. No, honesty loves inspection. Honesty is what we do openly. We're not hiding. Yeah, when you live a life of truth, you live a life of transparency. They go together. So let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness. Not living the spiritual nightclub life, right? Not in chambering and wantonness, just giving ourselves over to our fleshly desires and our fleshly wants. And no, it's to live lives of self-control. It's to live lives of honesty. It's to live lives that reflect the light of Jesus. It's to live lives that are in concert with the fruit of the Spirit. So Paul said, this is your responsibility as believers, to shine as children of light. That's what Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 2, in this crooked and perverse generation, that we shine forth as children of light. Look at verse number 13 again, not in strife and envying. So not only in not doing these fleshly activities, like, well, I don't go to parties and I don't drink or smoke or run with those that do, so I must be a good Christian. Now, the Apostle Paul doesn't give you that just that. He says, no, not in strife and envying. So in other words, check your hands, make sure you're living right, you know, on the outside, then check your heart. Make sure you're right on the inside. That's exactly what James did in James chapter 3. Check your outside, make sure what you're controlling your tongue. You know, guard your words, but then bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Guard your heart, because from the heart comes the words. So as walking as children of light is a matter of being right with God inside out, isn't it? Look at the last verse of the chapter, verse number 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about that. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So as believers, we kind of are a dichotomy a little bit, right? There's the flesh, and there's nothing good about your flesh. You know, your body still has cravings that you should not say yes to. And your body still screams for you to do things that you should say no to. And so don't make provision for, don't make it easier for your flesh to make decisions. No. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know what your sinful proclivities are. And so don't make provision for them. If you struggle with drinking or smoking or overeating, well, then don't have cupcakes in the cabinet. Don't make provision for the flesh. You know, if you struggle with things you look at that you shouldn't see, then you might want to cancel that cable subscription, or you might want to get that extra filter on your internet usage. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Hey, take your Christian walk. Take your living out loud and in the light. Take it seriously. Why? Because you reflect Jesus Christ. You ought to be wearing him. People ought to be seeing him in your life. That's it. Chapter number 13. Cannot wait to begin our next chapter as we talk about how to deal with differences among believers that aren't right or wrong issues, but wow, they can be controversial issues. Can't wait to jump into it. Hope you'll join us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.